Hey everybody, welcome back to the DK Show. So glad you're here. This episode is Morgan and I at what we call Discovery Day, where our prospective franchisees come in from all across the country, those who are interested in being a part of our system, our business partners, and we get a chance to talk with them about Burn Bootcamp and everything that we've built. So it's a little bit of vision, a little bit of detail, and I'm excited to give this to you because in case you're interested in franchising or if you're looking to really develop your leadership skills, the way you communicate in front of your team or your prospective clients, customers, members, etc., you're going to really enjoy this one. So welcome to Discovery Day inside of Transformatorium here at Burn HQ. Enjoy.
Devin and I are going to share a little bit about ourselves, the Burn journey that we've had, but also the history of Burn Bootcamp, what our mission is, what our core values are. And then throughout the day, like Jolene said, you're going to hear from our leadership team on all the different ways that we support you through the process of owning a Burn Bootcamp and making an impact in your communities. So Devin and I are both from Michigan, so shout out to the Midwest once again. Battle Creek, Michigan. So we met in sixth grade. And so we've known each other ever since. We dated on and off through high school, and then we went to rival colleges. I went to Western Michigan. He went to Central Michigan. I got my food marketing degree from Western, and I got a job at the Kellogg Company. So who's familiar with Frosted Flakes and Pop-Tarts? I was selling those every day in Southwest Florida. So Naples, Florida is where we first moved right out of college. And that's where, you know, that was my passion. I thought I was going to, you know, grow my career through Kellogg's, climb the corporate ladder. And I got promoted within 18 months here to Charlotte. So that was actually what brought us here to Charlotte. And I worked at the sales office, and then came the opportunity of Burn Bootcamp. So I'll pass it over to Devin and share a little bit about how we got from, you know, Battle Creek, Michigan to Naples, Florida to Charlotte, because there's a lot of his history as well that's really founded Burn Bootcamp and the mission and what it is.
So. And by the way, the first time that I saw her, like actually it's like maybe the second time, I asked her out and she told me no. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she said I already had a boyfriend. Yeah, so...
Well, he won, so you got
it. Yeah, right, so.
He always gets what he wants. That's one thing I've learned about Devin.
That was the first time I faced adversity, and I was,
guys.
Yes.
And he had put his sights on marrying me, and that is what happened. So, anyways.
But, like, literally, an eighth grade letter I wrote to her friend Erin, I will marry Morgan in an eighth grade letter. I have it still. Evidence.
Here we are, three kids there, and a lot of Burn Bootcamp. So
you know, if you don't know a little bit of my story, a quick background before I pick up at the parking lot, you know, we grew up in Battle Creek, Michigan. You know, I'd like to say that I kind of come from the other side of the tracks where it was chaotic and broken, and, you know, I had to be a man too young, and which, looking back now, it's like, thank the Lord and thank my parents for giving me that opportunity to face adversity so young, because now, like, I think what we're doing here is really changing and saving the world. And I think because of the tenacity that I can bring to this organization, it's much, much bigger than Morgan. It's much, much bigger than I am. But as the leader, what I get to bring is a tenacity, a championship culture, you know, an ideology that we can and are and will, you know, put a location on every deservable community on this planet that can support one, right? And if we don't do that, then there's something morally wrong with it, because look at how many lives are changed inside of the gym, right? And so every location that we don't put our footprint in, we don't wrap our arms around, is, to me, it's a lost opportunity to save and change people's lives. And so that's really what this is about. And then obviously to do that, the economic piece of it has to be there. And so that's really, you know, where the leadership team comes in today, is like profit and culture. And these two things together, we're going to show you what this business model is, what it looks like, and how you can really become successful by impacting your community and changing people's lives. And so that's, you know, just a little bit about me. But moving into, like, skipping over where Morgan covered and picking up at the parking lot days, when she moved up here for Kellogg's, well, actually, it was either Dallas or Charlotte. I played a little bit of baseball, and I was like, I played for the San Francisco Giants minor league organization, and I played in the Southeast, and I played in Charlotte, and I knew Dallas. I'm like, let's go to Charlotte, right? And so I followed her. We came up here, and I realized that I was a bad employee, and I should probably start my own organization, start my own company in training. It's all I knew outside of baseball, and this was the first picture, one of the first couple months in camp. That car right there, that's where that was the AV system. We played the music out of the car
the lights, the AV.
Yeah, a few of these people. This is Cameron's PE teacher, by the way, right now. Cindy LeBeau goes upstairs. Kathy was a franchise owner. This picture says a lot about just what the brand is, and another one from the parking lot days. But we were young and broke, and rightfully so. No landlord would lease us any space, and so we had to sublease to start. We did 5 locations in North Charlotte. I won't name them, but there's 5 of them, 1 in South Charlotte, actually. And from there, it was like, wow, we have like 1,000 members in the first 18 months of this thing. You know, with low overhead at the time, our lives were financially changed, and we were like, oh my gosh, what do we do? People started coming to us and asking, how do I bring a burn boot camp to my community? One in Durham, the South Durham location that somebody mentioned. Who was that? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that South Durham location. That was the second, look, that was the second franchise. The first one was Concord, North Carolina. So it was R5 and those two. And then 2015, Jolene came on board. Boom, we did 200 locations in the first 18 months, and which gave us a bunch of recognition. And this is a picture of us. We wiggled our way all the way up to Fox and Friends and Avenue of Americas to be on a live broadcast segment. One of the ways we grew the brand early on was through media, earned media. Morgan and I would travel in the Southeast. We drove 5 hours to Montgomery, Alabama one time to do a 5-minute TV segment on like ABC 1497, Montgomery Southeast, right? And then we drove 5 hours back, and that was like the dedication to us to spread the word at the time. And it was the only option because we had no resources, right? So that kind of led us to this Forbes article that just basically says, listen, Burn Boot Camp is in the 99th percentile of growth. And we looked at that and we were like, we're surprised by that, right? We didn't try to do that. We were just trying to impact communities one at a time. And all of a sudden, you know, we look up and we've got hundreds of locations in multiple states, and we made an investment. Right, we made an investment back into our teams. We grew. This was 2017. I can remember it like it was yesterday, February 17. We made the decision to bring on like $1 million in payroll, all these positions. Hey, we're gonna go do this. This is surprising to us. We didn't try to do it, but what would happen if we actually tried? And then, fast forward here. You know, 6 years later, after that, there's 90 people here at HQ, 400 in our ecosystem, including our company-owned gyms that all, you know, really support about 6,000 of us that are out there in 42 states. That's Geraldo, by the way. Look at Morgan and Geraldo. Look at that. She's right next to Geraldo. She's playing with his mustache and stuff. So, yeah, that's 2015 through 2018. And so now kind of fast forward to this moment in time where we're at right now. We're going to give you guys a chance to ask any questions, too, in about 10 minutes or so, in case you have any about the story. I know I went through that so, so fast. But our mission now, I'll turn this over to Morgan just to talk a little bit about where we are now. Maybe you can touch on just the evolution of where we were in the parking lot days with our brand, and then kind of how it's evolved into where we're at now.
Absolutely, yeah. So these are just some stats that we're super proud of. I know Jolene shared some as well, but 515 territories sold, hopefully more after today, right? 341 gyms open. That's gone up since we've built this slide. So we are literally opening doors every single weekend. 90% female owned, which I'll talk a little bit about that, obviously, through our mission. 114,000 members throughout those gyms, and 40 states open, okay? And then 41 and 42 coming very, very soon. So we don't do that without a very, very strong mission, right? So who here has seen the mission of Burn Boot Camp? It's on every wall. Or it should be on every wall or somewhere like that. But if you go ahead to the next slide, you can see our mission statement. And we built this right before we became a franchise, right back in that 2015 timeframe, because having a strong mission is going to allow you to have a vision and a path, right? And it's going to help you say yes to things, and it's going to help you say no to things. And we knew that we needed to collectively join forces with men and women like you guys if we wanted to truly transform a global transformation, right? So you can see that. We have set ourselves up for global domination, okay? We are very, very focused on the U.S. right now, but this is something that we want to impact the entire world. Thankfully, through our live streams, we've been able to already do that. Matt's streaming into how many different countries, Matt? Over 20 countries. So we have already obviously checked that off the box. But global transformation, some other things that we stand out here is empowering women. Okay, empowering women. I've heard that through each and every one of your stories as you guys spoke. Whether you're a woman or not, somehow you empowered not only yourself, but then your family to join, right? And now your kids are coming in. And so that is at the core of who we want to be, is we want to empower women and their families through fitness. But it transcends fitness. You guys all said it in your stories. You're either gaining confidence, you have somewhat of an identity back, you are liking women again because you're feeling empowered by women. And so it's not just about a 45-minute workout at Burn Boot Camp. And I know I'm preaching to the choir because you guys have all experienced this yourselves, but it transcends fitness. It goes beyond that. It goes to how you attack your day, how you approach your job, how you parent your children, your relationships with your spouse or your family or your friends, the decisions that you make every single day. We want that 45 minutes to be as impactful as it can. And so what you'll learn today is what our blue carpet experience, what we want you guys to feel and all of our members to feel when they first get introduced to our brand, all the way to the first time they walk through our doors, to every single camp that they take at every location that they visit. So this is our mission statement. Again, I really want to emphasize that it's not just about that 45-minute workout. It is about transcending those lessons that we learn and those relationships that we build and the confidence that we build inside and outside of the gym. And so I touched on our core values. So go ahead and go to this next slide. Like I said, this is our guiding light here at Burn Boot Camp. Through Devin and I, our leadership, our franchise partners, your employees, we want you guys all to share these same core values because, like I said, it's how you're going to say yes to things and how you're going to say no to things. So the very first and foremost, the most important one is people first. What does that mean to some of you in the room? I'd love to just hear what people first means. If you were to look at it. Yeah, Allie.
For me, like I mentioned Sarah, our trainer, like there was a day I was having a bad day and she just like walked past to say hi and was like, you okay? Like, mm-hmm. And gave me a hug and didn't like ask questions. It was just like that was important that I was okay before like kicking my butt in the workout.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, and you know, for us, it starts here at the HQ level, right? Devin talked about profit and culture and how we constantly need to walk that fine line of profit and culture. And for us, people first is how are we making decisions thinking about the franchise partner in mind and the member in mind, right? Because when we can see our members succeed and our franchise partners succeed, then we succeed. And so when we're in our leadership meetings and when we are making goals and decisions about where the brand is going to evolve, there's two empty seats at that table. It's a member and it's a franchise partner. And putting them first and putting what they would need and want in mind is how we're able to navigate this brand. Because let's be honest, the competition is out there. There's a lot of different fitness brands, okay? A lot of people can do push-ups, burpees, pull-ups, jumping jacks, all the things. They can have shiny things on their wall. You know, they can have good marketing. But what are the other things that are going to stand out in this brand? And it's about putting people first, building a community where we care about you first before we care about the dollar that you bring us. Does that make sense? Cool. Next is authenticity. Okay, this is a big one because you guys do see men in the room, and that first picture that Devin shared with you guys, it was all women. We actually used to have a tagline that was Charlotte's Fit Community of Moms. Then we cut the Charlotte because we were expanding. And then, you know, as the brand has evolved, we've completely cut that tagline because, you know, people would call us and say, do I have to be a mom? You know, do I have to be a woman? And so we have evolved as a brand, but authenticity means staying true to who you are. Staying true to the soul of the brand. So you guys, if you've been with us, I think 7 years is maybe the most. Megan, you mentioned 7 years. Anyone else been here longer? How much have you seen the brand evolve but stay the same in the same ways, right? It's evolution. It's bringing other people into this brand, but it's remaining true to who we serve, which is women first. It's empowering women, and then through their families, we make more impact. And so for us, that's very, very important, especially me as the CEO, making sure that we're not making decisions that are going to negotiate with the soul of who we are and how we got here and who we truly want to serve. Next is pride and results. I think I kind of heard it in your story a little bit, but just celebrating one another. Okay, how many times do you walk into the gym? I think you just said a little bit with people first too, but pride and results, celebrating each other, champion one another. There's no competition when you walk into Burn Boot Camp. And that was very important to all of us as we built this brand, because I've come from a big box gym where I walked in and I felt incredibly intimidated. Who else has felt that way? You know, I think women especially, we feel intimidated. Or I've had 3 children now, so postpartum eras, right? Walking into a big box gym would make me want to get sick because I would be afraid that I was being judged, or maybe I was afraid that I didn't know what to even do, and it was just out of my comfort zone. So it's been important to us as we've evolved that we are creating an atmosphere that, you know, makes people feel welcome, and we are prideful in the results that they get, whether it's a double under for the first time, whether it's 100 pounds, or whether it's a promotion at your job, right? We are going to celebrate you. We are going to champion our members, and that happens all the way up to the HQ level. It's about championing our franchise partners, championing our trainers, our Burn ambassadors, our operations people, because it's important that we all feel celebrated through the big and the small things. And then last but not least, integrity. It's about matching our words with our actions. It's about doing what we say we're going to do. That is at the forefront who I am, who Devin is, and that's a non-negotiable of the people that work here at HQ, but also the people that we attach ourselves with as franchise partners. If they don't share that core value of integrity, it's not going to work out in the long run, because they are representing Burn Boot Camp, and it's our job to protect the investment that every franchise partner makes that you guys would potentially make. And so we take these core values very, very seriously. And it's what Jolene and her team are looking for when we are looking at partners to spread this mission with us. We want shared core values. So, you know, if any of this stuff resonates with you and you feel like these are also your core values as a human and you understand what that would mean to live them out, I do believe this would be a really, really good fit because, you know, again, we want to lock arms with people that are ready to run through brick walls and impact communities. And if there's misalignment here, there's ultimately going to be misalignment in the partnership. So anything else to add?
You nailed that. Okay. That was literally in my head halfway through. I'm like, damn, she's really nailing that.
Does anyone have questions on our core values or our mission statement or the why or anything behind what I just shared? I need some energy.
You guys can, we'll have a little period of time where you can spit out any questions that you have that come to your mind. Just make sure you write them down and stuff like that. We want to answer them all, right? That's why we're all here. So we'll pause at the end of this to do that as well.
That was all I had. So
I would just say one more thing that, you know, Morgan really is really talked about the core values through the lens of why you all are here, right? That is because you've been impacted in some deeper way by the brand, and you're like, oh wow, this has been so beneficial for my life, even so quickly that I can see myself stepping in and doing this for other people, right? Now, being in this room, now you're on the business side of it, the business conversation, right? And the championship teams are the ones that all align to the same core values like Morgan talked about. It's not just at the member level. There's an application, we call it core behaviors, core values in action, right, that are actually more important to the brand than any KPIs. By the way, you're gonna see all my numbers, people. You're gonna see the KPIs. You're gonna realize that the world-class economics are here. And that's not just about all this fluffy culture. You know, I'm just for my business people in the room that are like, hey, where are the numbers coming? That's coming, but that's going to be secondary to what Morgan just talked about, right? And I'll talk about that a little bit with the franchise partner first model, because this is something that you're gonna see throughout the day. This is just core values in action, right? Not only in action, but where the rubber actually meets the road. And this is an ideology that we have, a business model, if you will, that is a new business model to the industry, that's new to the company, and that is probably the most exciting evolution when it comes to how do we take those core values and translate that into actual business action and business model to go achieve economics, KPIs, which leads to obviously transforming as many lives as we can in our communities. So your franchise partner first revenue model, essentially, and you're gonna hear about it more today, but essentially what this is along with your physical territory, when you decide what location that you're going to land on, you get open, you're also gonna have a digital territory that overlaps that, all right? And it has parity, it's the same. And anything that happens inside the four walls of that territory is your revenue. You sell it, we support it, together we innovate it. The company itself, right, is taking a back seat to the franchise partner's P&L's pockets by allowing everything that we sell, the whole ecosystem, right? In-gym memberships, on-demand, Burn Nutrition, right? Active equipment that is on our store. All of this now is funneled through your top line and bottom line revenue and adds to the economics. So we were already, Jolene and the team will talk about kind of where we're at and what we're allowed to share financially. Like, there's a certain line where we can't go. We can't financially represent any performance illegally. You know, the FTC governs us. And so you guys can have those conversations, you know, as you go on through your journey. But I will tell you that when you go and you examine our economics and any KPI, we're in the top five in the boutique fitness industry. Okay? And so this franchise partner revenue model is going to take us from where we're at today to where we're going tomorrow. Right, to be able to compound the success that we've already had, and it looks something like everything in your territory is you sell it, and it kind of flows right into the whole model. And I don't want to get too far down a rabbit hole because I could talk about this stuff for like 5 or 6 hours. I know most of you are brand new to this, but just keep your ears up. Anytime we reference franchise partner first model, what that's referencing is the digital territory and the fact that you, as a franchise owner, you not only own the ground, but you own the airspace as well. Okay? You own those, all the transactions that happen for you. Anything to add to that, Morgan?
I think you're going to learn a lot about it, so we don't want to steal anyone's thunder.
I don't want to steal the thunder.
Over there. So. Okay.
So, yeah, any questions that you guys have for us?
I'm sure there's a ton of questions.
Yeah.
But, you know, specifically on the story, the vision, the mission, the core values, you know, how we got here, where we're going, what roles Devin and I play. I want to make sure you guys get those questions out now. And then, obviously, towards the end of the day, we'll have some time for more Q&A.
And if not...
I don't think I've ever heard
how y'all landed on the name Burn. Oh, okay. So, November 2011, Morgan decides to sign a contract with Kellogg. She moves up here. I stay back in Naples, Florida. I'm working at a box gym. We moved out of our apartment, so I'm living in my next door neighbor Dante's apartment, and I'm staying in his guest room. And I have a VP of fitness that walks in at Lifestyle Family Fitness, which is no longer a company, and he basically like pounds his two roided out fists on the table and was like, "Hey, you're third in the company, but it's not good enough. And I'll only have respect for you if you're doing this, if you're still here next year," or something along those lines. And in my head, excuse my language, I'm like, fuck that, I'm out of here. Like, and so at that moment, I decided that I just wasn't going to be, I was too ambitious and I was too hungry and driven to be treated like that, I think, was my thought at the time. And so I went and bought a purple notebook. I remember it like it's yesterday. I went to Dante's spare bedroom and I started carving out just a bunch of names. I still have it today. Like the first three pages are all logo names and logo ideas, and like I think visually, so it's all sketched out and stuff. And it was like Burn Fitness, Flame. It was, dude, there's so many stupid things on there, literally. And what is that? So yeah, I had a little boot camp that I started out of the Lifestyle that was kind of the feeder program into Burn, and it was called Lightning 900, and that was like Burn 900 calories, lightning fast was the tagline. So. But I'm proud of it, okay? All right, I'm proud of it. It's part of my story, and I'm going to own it. And so, yeah, I was crushing it with that. And then I was like, you know what? Let me go provide an environment. This was my first thought, because I'm a trainer at heart, right? Let me go provide an environment that's the opposite of the one that I just experienced, where people that are crushing it can feel like they're crushing it. They can feel like they have an opportunity, that they have one, you know, jersey that they can wear as a team together. And I come from a baseball background, championship cultures, right? And the MAC conference, Central Michigan Chippewas, if we didn't win the conference championship, it was a losing season. And with the San Francisco Giants, I was there when 2010 and 2012 when they won the World Series. And it's like, listen, if you're in the minor leagues, you walk around with your hat on straight. You don't have any facial hair. Your pants are all the way down. I don't see your socks. It was like, it's just a strict culture. And so I brought all of that into Burn. The name was trivial. I wanted it to, I'm a branding mind, so I wanted it to sound like it was. I wanted it to sound really hard because I knew even back then that if I could introduce an atmosphere where trainers can introduce to members hard things, they're doing it in a group because you always get way better results in any team setting than you would individually across any realm of life. That's the formula. And what we called it didn't really necessarily matter. I just wanted to call it what it sounded like. So, I mean, Burn Boot Camp, if you like kind of peel back and think about Apple, that's kind of a dumb name, right? But it means something to us now because of what it's done for our lives, and like, or Nike, like, think, strip everything you know away from Nike or Burn or Apple mentally, and they're just names. So what we did is, and then I chose the color because we're moving to North Carolina, and I figured blue would fit in. Yeah, it's not because like, you know, the atmospheric pressure only allows the blue light through, and the blue light's the toughest light, so then we gotta be blue, right? Nothing esoteric like that. Yeah, I'm a very simple person.
No,
very
you're simple. Not. Well,
maybe in my mind, I'm simple. But yeah, that's the story of how Burned came to be.
It makes my body burn a lot.
Well,
it
there
does,
you go.
Right? Exactly
there
what
you
it
go.
Is.
Call it what it is. Right?
After burn. You take it after you burn. That's the thing.
Burn. So much over the years. In the last couple of years, obviously on demand has been one of the biggest changes. In the next like 3 to 5 years, what do you guys see coming that's going to look really different, especially for franchise partners?
Yeah, I think outside of the franchise first model, that's really that really can take off when we leverage technology. So I think we never want to be a company that is served only through technology. So who's been to a boutique fitness where you look at a screen to look at the workout? That is actually something you will never see at Burn. I'm gonna put my stamp in it right now. That's something that what we want to leverage technology, so that is why we have built our own app instead of white labeling one. We've built our own so we can own our own data and we can create experience that only enhances the in-gym experience that they're gonna get, right? So where do I see it going in 3 years? I see us being able to serve more people first and foremost, because a Burn can't be in every community, but there's people in every community that need Burn Boot Camp and that need that 45 minutes and need that community, even though they're not physically going to be able to go to a gym. And so I see us obviously growing that part of the brand inside and outside of digital territories. But then for the franchise partner, it's connecting with people through technology in just different ways that keep them in our ecosystem. So as you'll see, Amber's gonna talk a little bit about that ecosystem. It's continuing to just say, how do we serve our members? What do they need? What do they need that they're not getting? And how do we bring that into Burn Boot Camps? Because they know this, they like us, they trust us, and they're gonna, you know, buy from us. And so how do we give things, more things to franchise partners to be able to drive up some of those, you know, KPIs and serve members where they're at? And obviously technology is a big piece in that, because A, that's how the world's working right now. How many of you went to Amazon just last night and ordered something? Because I did.
Morgan,
I am out
goes,
of
control.
I
literally
sent
her a link to get a pop-up baseball thing for our kids, and she goes, I don't know how to do this. It's not on Amazon.
Well, okay.
I'm like,
I do know how to
do it. Like, you're so,
they're such a great brand.
They own that market.
They own the market, yeah. Right? So not saying that we're trying to compete with Amazon, because we can't
this
compete
is my metaphor,
with
my
that free shipping.
Metaphor.
But, you know, that's just how we... the world is working, right? We're staying connected through our phones and through applications. And so how does Burn Boot Camp grab a hold of that and not replace in person? Because gosh, who wants to go back to that COVID era, right? I think that's where we really learned that you have to have both, but you can't replace, you know, you can never replace that human connection, that in-gym experience. But how do we enhance it through technology?
Yeah. I add one thing to that really quickly, just because I think it's an important nugget as a cherry on top, is to say that the long-term outlook is really important for you as an investor, right? You want the long-term outlook of the brand to be one that you understand, that you know. You want the leadership to be people that you know, like, trust, understand, that are giving you information. And I want you guys to know that, you know, we are here for decades with an S on the end of it, right? It's not like, you know, Morgan and I, you know, need more money and we need to go sell. Right? I'm just being straightforward with you. Like, we don't, like, if we ever do things that like moving forward, we are going to own the majority of this organization for the next decade, 2 decades, 3 decades, and just giving you security to know that, like, we're not going anywhere. Like, it's not like you sign your franchise agreement, 6 months later we're like, all right, see you guys. You know what I mean? So it's just, I think it's important, like, that the Venn diagram there, the connection to what she said and what I said, is that we have a long-term outlook. There's nobody that we've got to pay next quarter to cover, you know, any payments. And so we get the opportunity to have that long-term outlook, invest into the future, and look at the brand and what it can be in 10 and 20 years, and make those investments now, today, without having any short-term, quarter-over-quarter obligations that, you know, disrupt the long-term vision of the brand.
Kim.
So obviously COVID generated, you know, probably live and on demand probably faster than you guys. I guess my question is, was it planned ever to have live and on demand, or did that come about because of the pandemic and then you saw the opportunity?
It was planned, but it definitely sped up our need for it.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, we definitely had talked about our owning our own data, for sure. And we, it's funny, we had just redid that studio a couple weeks before COVID hit, having no idea that that was going to happen. And so it's all in the details. But, you know, we definitely have always been a company that wants to give. So our YouTube channel was full of content, you know, and then obviously we were able to flip that really, really quickly. But the business model part of it, I would say, was sped up because of COVID.
It was always, digital content production has always been there since the parking lot days, though. When Morgan and I moved to an uptown Charlotte apartment, we filmed the very first burst training workouts and gave those away to our members. They were 15 minutes. And if you saw the clock in the background, it took like 3 hours to cut them because we were rookies. So the big clock would jump like 30 minutes at a time. And then we just always kept it there. We built the studio. We've had broadcast capabilities since 2017, 18. And then we renovated to be a gym broadcast studio, not like a ESPN-style broadcast studio. And then then the pandemic hit, and it's like, woo, here we go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, Kim.
One more?
Yeah.
Todd.
So, great memory. Oh, actually.
I was actually thinking in my head, we should write, and I can't read the cursive very well.
I can. I got you.
Okay, maybe I need LASIK surgery.
You guys have a great business. This has been super helpful for me, not knowing a ton about, you know, what you're about and what your goals are. The vision for the future beyond the digital aspect of it and growing more locations, what else? It sounds like you have a lot of ideas and you're in this for the long haul. Are there other areas that you're thinking about investing in and growing, whether it's products, the nutrition side of it, and how does your vision impact the franchise owners as an opportunity to go along with you on these other revenue streams and opportunities?
That's a great question, and I have what comes to my head is where our membership model goes in the long run. Think about transformation as a whole. Just think about you and your family. You guys can come to the gym. It's going to be a premium price point because there's a lot of people, but you can walk into the gym if you wanted to, and you could buy a $1,500 membership for your entire family with all your meals and all your supplements delivered to your door. That franchise partner first model, that digital territory, you know, obviously that's a franchise partner's franchisee's revenue, and us being able to have that one-stop shop where it's really the Burn lifestyle, right? And our brand really stands for, I think it's getting there, but in the future it's going to stand for a much more holistic transformation, like the Burn lifestyle, body, mind, emotion, spirit, relationships, time, work, money, right? The categories that make up our lives, and providing service in that category. So you have that I think is really important. And then, Trisha and I talk a lot about this, and Morgan, about the journey that a family, so like a child at 3 years old, 2 years old, that comes into Burn for the very first time has an opportunity to go to Child Watch, right? Our future of our brand also has a kids camp, a component to that, that we're working on right now inside of the four walls of Burn Bootcamp to maximize our square footage. And the future of this brand was there will be opportunities to invest into that vertical and in terms of a franchise in the long run. But like Morgan said, global is in the long run too. Right now we're focused on domestic US, right? And so then you have them leaving at 13 years old, right? Because and going to the adult program because that's where they stop. And then what's the next stop is college. And Trisha and I talk a lot about how do we get into campuses, right? How do we keep Burn with them for their whole life? The technology is a great part of it, but that's not going to replace that physical community. And then obviously you get as Trish likes to say, a big girl job, and you grow up and you have kids, and now you feel like you're at home. And that way the community can go with you wherever you are. And within that, we sell the transformation as a whole. So Burn Nutrition.
And just to clarify, he's talking about eventually getting to a point where we have a different franchise of Burn Bootcamp kits.
Yeah.
So let's say, you know, you're tapped out in the Burn Bootcamps, there's no more available real estate. but you want to grow. How can we find other feeder programs that obviously complement our brand, our mission, our core values? And like he said, it's hitting that pocket of kids all day and not just in between the white space of when you're training camps.
Yeah, I think as I've been looking into this, I think about these big gyms that show up with something for everyone.
Yep.
And it's like, how are we going to differentiate ourselves from those experiences that have so much going on within the four walls for everybody? And I think your answer obviously does that. It's a totally different experience that I think is probably better for the family and for, you know.
Yeah. So we want to double down on what we're really good at, which is that 45-minute workout, and it's building community. And, you know, we've got different modalities on the app that Matt will talk about, Trish will talk about a little bit. But, you know, we're not trying to compete with those big box gyms that have everything, because then are they really good at any of it, or are they just okay at all of it?
Right.
So it's really going really deep in that transformation. So,
Burn Nutrition is huge for us. That's the last thing I'll say. Burn Nutrition, having supplements. You know, eventually, this isn't here today, but eventually in the future, we'll have meals to couple with that and an auto ship program that sits inside of our app to fuel more EFT revenue. You know, the more revenue that we can, the more we can help people by getting them on subscription, the stronger business model that we build overall. And so selling it as a transformation and then doing that through subscription, you can kind of use those two things to come together to complete the vision.
So within that, do you feel like that there's an opportunity for something like a health coach beyond the one-on-ones to use all of that and leverage it to?
I would say that we're always open to universally needle-moving ideas at this point. There's so many ideas that, like, yeah, they're all great, but which one out of the 300 that you could propose that you could sit on this table, which one would move the needle the most for the organization? And that's our job,
yeah.
Right? So when we say, hey, there's an open seat for a franchise partner, there's an open seat for a member at our leadership tables. There's not an open seat for competition, by the way, just as a caveat. We don't let Orange Theory or F45 into our table. We make our own decisions. We're our own brand. But through the lens of, you know, those two chairs that are open for you, your ideas come through that chair too, yeah. Right? So we see all the ideas in the organization and open to it. Just got to be something that's like, yeah, that's obvious that we really need that.
And scalable.
And scalable.